and rainy night, I was sitting in the light of my switchman's shack, a milepost on the mountain. The storm was pretty bad and the telephone was dead, but it was just 11 hours till the dawn. Then much to my surprise, the telegraph jumped into life. As I read the code, I thought, could this be true? A train was on its way, headed up the mountain grade, but she didn't have no engineer or crew. At the other switch, they tried to put her on the mountainside, but she kept on coming up the mountain grade. Well, I quickly doused the light to try to see into the night. Maybe I could spot her headlight in the rain.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Syrian Girl joins us. I'll introduce her fully at the next segment because some stations don't carry this. But since she was on yesterday, Trump had signaled imminent attacks on Iran. He almost always does what he says. He said, I'm going to back the people, help us on the way, implying military action, which I don't want us to be involved in. Again, I'm all for regime change. You know, the people do it, but I don't trust people running our government, not Trump, but the bureaucrats. And I don't trust Israel, who's got their own people there. I don't want to put a royal in there. I want to put some new religious leader in there. I want people to be free. So we've got big developments, though, unfolding right now. Iran and Israel secretly agreed not to attack each other through Russian back channel. Trump now says that imminent strike on Iran are off the table for now. This lady is seriously informed. Syrian Girl, from your sources, what changed since we talked 23 hours ago?
You know, it's interesting. When we talked 23 hours ago, we were getting the Drudge report said that the attack was imminent. I had sources from 3 days prior that told me the attack was imminent that day within 24 hours. And Iran actually closed its airspace. I don't know if people noticed that on the news. And that indicated that it was preparing missile strikes. Because the first time that they did a ballistic missile attack on the U.S. air base in Iraq, they did accidentally shoot down a passenger jet. So now every time they fire missiles, a sign is that they're going to close their airspace, which is like a big red flag that missiles are about to fly. So it seemed like something was revving up, like they were prepared for something as well. So they must have received intel that, you know, something's going to happen. But Trump is showing, he just made a statement that the killing seems to have stopped, which indicates, you know, there's no reason for U.S. strikes anymore. I don't know if I, like, trust that things are over completely, because maybe the Iranians showed themselves to be too prepared. Maybe this is like a some sort of a psych that's happening. So I think that we shouldn't put our guard down yet. But what may have happened is the Iranians showed too much preparedness. It seems that they were able to cut off Elon Musk's...
Starlink.
What is it? Starlink. I was going to say Skynet.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely not that. So it was Starlink. So as a result, a lot of the protests subsided because there's no, like, instructions. And as we know repeatedly from many admissions, the Mossad is involved. Israel is involved on the ground there and giving instructions. So perhaps because things subsided, they didn't think that the regime or the state, the government, was unstable enough to pull this off. This is just my analysis from the immediate, not in the long term. I also saw that Saudi Arabia and Qatar have insisted that this not happen. Of course, they have some influence with the U.S., not as much as Israel, but they do have some influence with the U.S. This may be the reason we saw a backstep, but I'm really not sure how long this is going to last for in terms of not having a strike. It seems to me that a strike is inevitable in the long term, if not in the immediate short term.
Wow, I have to say I totally agree with that. And this could be a thing where, like, they said, if we're making a deal with Hamas, then Israel strikes Hamas and Qatar. I mean, who knows what's really about to happen? But I tend to go where you said. I think they realize Iran's not as weak as they thought, so they're pulling back for now.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So Trump, 4 days ago, said we're going to come to the aid of the Iranian opposition, the uprising. Israel has wanted to, quote, hit all of their main military sites, not just nuclears. That's full war. The Iranian parliament has already voted during the last U.S.-Israel strikes and that whole fight to block the Strait of Hormuz if there is a main attack on Iran. And that would be this. And that would take hours to get into all the things that would cause if that unfolded. Now, the White House, we can put it on screen, is set to have a press conference and an announcement any minute about Iran. We'll obviously pop to that and get the main announcement, and then you'll come back later with any questions that were important after Syrian Girl has had her time to speak. But she has recently been to Israel, been to Gaza, been to Iran, been to Russia, been to Europe, been all over. Again, her family was part of the ruling party before the Baathists threw them out, so she was not even for Assad, but against turning the country into an al-Qaeda haven, which has now been done, as she predicted it would, after 14 years of attempted regime change. She showed incredible footage yesterday of her recently in Tehran, the capital of Iran, with 67% of the women not wearing burqas, and quite attractive-looking people, I would say, as well, and just out there at a mall looking like it was America or something. So a lot of what we hear about Iran is seriously exaggerated. And I think that was the big thing she was saying. But some stations weren't carrying us earlier. I think you nailed it last segment. Repeat what you said and then expand on why you think suddenly Trump has pulled back from, okay, we're going to hit you, to, oh, no, they've stopped killing people. In fact, here he is in the Oval Office talking about it.
Thank you so much. And just to make the record clear, I haven't been to Israel. I have been to Iran and Iraq, because people will try to pick on me for that, for sure. But as a Syrian,
let me just stop you. I think misunderstood. I'm a bad communicator. I wanted to play the clip. Hold a second. Hold a second. I want to just play this clip of Trump. So we'll go back to this in a minute. We're going to play clip 4 on the list. This one right here. This is Trump. I'm sorry I miscommunicated. I'm going to play this. Let's start over again. Let's just stop right there. We're going to start this over here. Let's go ahead and play it.
We've been told that the killing in Iran is stopping. It's stopped. It's stopping. And there's no plan for executions or execution. So I've been told that on good authority. We'll find out about it.
All right. Sorry. My voice is under the weather. They didn't hear me say play clip 4. Now, I wasn't mad at you, Syrian Girl. I was the Israel thing. I was mad because I wanted to play that clip. Yeah, okay. I was looking at the videos you sent me, the new ones. I know anybody gets near Israel. If you flew over Israel or if you look at Israel on a map, it means you work for them. So my misunderstanding is a great illustration. Why don't you pledge to everybody you don't work for Israel because they're better than you, and worship them and swear you're not Mossad? I misunderstood this in these videos you sent me where you're interviewing people. I travel speaking to all these Jewish groups and rabbis. I guess that was not in Israel. The point is, you travel all over the Middle East. Does it mean you work for Israel if you lived in Syria, though? Can we even, how, In fact, if you were on planet Earth, it means you work for Israel. So why don't you apologize to everybody and just pledge you don't work for Israel first?
God forbid anyone should assume such a thing. And especially as I'm Syrian, you know, there's all those sorts of, like, I would never be allowed to step foot in any such a place. And also it could create, you know, like, you can imagine, you can just imagine. But I did interview the rabbi in the synagogue, so it's perfectly understandable that, you know, people would assume that's in Israel. But in fact, it was in Iran, right? Like, that's what made it so profound, because I did interview that rabbi and the children that went to that synagogue, because I think it's hard, like, children that were there, we were there, like, you know, suddenly nobody was able to instruct the children don't lie. Okay, they can maybe if they sneak some chocolate, but if you ask them straight up about their situation, they're not. Their immediate instinct is not to conceal anything. So I was able to get an idea of what their lives were like from speaking to the rabbi and the children. And those were the clips I think you may have seen. And essentially, you know, I asked them, what did you think about the previous strikes on Iran? And the rabbi said, like, we were fearing for our lives, just like every other Iranian, from the Israeli missiles. So it's not like, you know, they feel any different to Iranians. They're, you know, they speak to me in Farsi. They don't speak to me in Hebrew. You know, he was telling me how, like, inside the synagogue, you have to cover your hair because, you know, otherwise young boys are going to be distracted. And, you know, he was talking about how he has, like, the ability to worship in Iran and he doesn't have any issues. I also, like, I asked him about the conflict in the region. And I told him, you don't really have to answer me if you don't want to, if you feel uncomfortable. And he said, no, I'll answer you. I just want peace. And I thought he was a really awesome guy. And I hope, you know, you guys check out the interview. But just to show you that this narrative that it's like Muslims versus Jews, it's not really accurate. We have like some military industrial complex that's hell-bent on selling weapons and creating conflicts and funding terrorist groups on both sides. You know, you had the terrorist militias, Haganah, Ergon, Lehi, that started the whole thing. And then you had ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And this is a game, essentially. So I wanted to get on the ground and show the reality of people. And I think that with the mall that I showed you, interestingly, I asked the girl if this was like her favorite mall or if it was a good one. And she goes, no, I really don't like this one. And later on, people were telling me, go to Tehran Mall. And I looked it up. And Tehran Mall, which is not the mall you're seeing now, is one of the biggest malls in the world. And I didn't know about it. And I missed it. I'm going to have to go back for that one.
But all right, so I want to shift gears out of this because we got distracted by me mentioning some of the videos you sent me and it became this whole thing, which is fine. We'll add some of those in post because we have limited time. Once we upload this to X and Rumble, after you're not live, we'll actually put the five or six amazing videos you sent, you know, to us in there for some context you've been talking about. Big picture, though, almost always when Trump says he's going to do something, he does it. On this case, can you recap why you think he went from, yeah, we're going to back the opposition, we're going in, to suddenly, now everything's fine?
Look, Trump, he does say what he says he's going to do it. It's very likely he does do it. But he's also unpredictable, right? Like, he can't change his mind. He has said he will not do something. He has said he will not do something, and then he ends up doing it. So I think that it's hard to, you know, he's saying now that he won't do it. So I think that, to recap, the Iranians closed their airspace on the 15th, showing preparedness to launch missiles. So there was like an escalation that happened there. Clearly, the Iranians expected something and it didn't go through. The Saudi Arabians and the Qataris were against it. They have some influence with the United States, not as much as Israel, but they have U.S. military bases in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And last time, Qatar was struck by missiles from both the Iranians and the Israelis. Because they were, you know, housing negotiations there and U.S. military bases. So they were stuck in the middle of it. So they're like, no, we don't want anything to do with this. And they're putting pressure on things to halt. However, as I predicted last time there were strikes, I said, this is not the end. They're coming back for more. And I think that they will be coming back. I don't think that this is it. I think that we should be on guard at least till the end of the month, if not, you know, for the next couple of years. And I think, you know, probably it's not over. I think also perhaps contributing factor is that Iran was able to jam Starlink, which prevented communications with some of the intelligence agents that the Mossad and CIA have inside Iran. And so the US maybe didn't want to go into war with Iran blind. Perhaps they didn't expect Starlink to be jammed. And I heard that this jamming of Starlink may have been technology provided to Iran by China or Russia. Perhaps they also made it themselves. They're very capable. They did build hypersonic ballistic missiles themselves, after all. So this is all, I guess, it's dynamic at the end of the day. We will see what happens next. Perhaps also because of the jamming of Starlink, the rallies that were taking place, or the riots more specifically, like we have in Minnesota, you know, you wouldn't call them freedom rallies. You would, if they're throwing Molotov cocktails at churches and shooting police, we would call them at least riots, if not an insurrection. And they have sort of died down. And I think maybe because, again, there's no instruction from Starlink for them, that I know that the Israelis have admitted that they were on the ground in manipulating things. So maybe this was not the scenario that they wanted. I mean, Trump has said himself, the killings have stopped, which means probably the riots have stopped as well. So this is maybe not the scenario that they wanted for the regime change. They wanted chaos on the streets and then missiles in the air, perhaps. So we saw similar in Syria, of course. Things started as mostly peaceful protesters, which, of course, were gunmen on the street and firing on MI6, firing on both sides, the police and the protesters, creating chaos, and eventually ended up with Al-Qaeda in charge.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I did see the foreign minister on Fox, and they're, like, laughing at him. He's talking, like, to Bret Baier, and they're like, you're telling me that Israel or another group would actually stage a false flag. I'm saying the Democrats are pre-programmed at all. I predicted everything they would do so far. They said what they would do. Now, the last thing will be mowing down a bunch of illegal aliens or people demonstrating for them in a place like Minnesota. And so I could absolutely, if Trump says, I think I said it when he said it, when Trump said, if you kill demonstrators, I'm going to come against you. And I said, well, that he's just ensured that some opposition group internally or Israel or some group, that's teed up now to do that. And so that's logical to say that's a possibility. I'm not saying that's what happened, but to roll the eye about that is not based in reality.
Absolutely not. And I, you know, what would happen in Minnesota with the ICE agent shooting the woman in the car? I mean, I heard that that woman was blocking their way for a long period of time, and you know, surely she saw that these guys mean business. I mean, perhaps she was led on to believe that, you know, she'd be perfectly safe doing so. You could think of her as one of the protesters in Iran, right? So I do suspect a lot of false flag activity. Prior to BLM as well, you saw that the media would hyper-focus on incidences that happened between police and members of the African American community, and now you know when Biden was in power, suddenly all those issues disappeared, and the media wouldn't focus on it anymore. So I do think that there is something with that. There is some sort of the George Soros hand in these things. And of course, I saw that BBC episode as well. They did say that Iran, are you saying that Israel is doing a false flag? And the guy, the answer is just like, but the Israelis admitted it themselves. And the BBC guy had to basically acknowledge that. He's like, I know, but the Israelis, they aren't really hiding anything. They also stated that the minute the Iranian regime, or that's in their wording, falls, they're going to just bomb everywhere in Iran, which is what happened in Syria. I mean, look, we've learned the lesson of these regime change operations. It doesn't end with flowers and rainbows. It ends with civil war, as in Libya, rises of Al-Qaeda, as in Libya and as in Syria as well. So it ends in decades of chaos and
And let's be clear about that. Let's be clear about that. You have all these people like the U.S. ambassador to Israel that literally worships Israel, and they just say Israel's so sweet and so perfect and so good. I'm just pragmatic about it and say, no, Israel is very cold-blooded, and it's some of the most cold-blooded stuff ever. Israel admittedly founded Hamas to destabilize the PLO. They were getting record funding up until October 7th. And so we know the history of this, and we know that Israel doesn't want stable partners in general. Okay, now if Saudi Arabia is strong or, you know, Jordan's strong, they won't move openly against them. But any other time they get a chance, they don't want strong leaders, strong governments, strong industry. They admit officially their policy is to break all those countries into smaller subgroups it can control. That's their official divide and conquer policy. And the British were wrong to do that in India, and you know, other empires have been wrong, and it's immoral. And I'll tell you, though, you're right. Israel, the crazy part is, in its own news, admits what they're doing. But over here, it's turned into like a cartoon. Israel good, everybody else bad. It's like, no, Israel's going around destabilizing and putting the worst people in. Look at Syria. And it's very immoral, and it needs to be addressed.
I would like to point out something, especially about Syria. You know, Netanyahu said that he is responsible for the fall of Assad. He said that, like, within days of it happening. And obviously, they armed the rebel groups. One of the rebel groups that they were arming alongside the CIA beheaded a 12-year-old boy. And now one of those men that beheaded the boy is inside the government in Syria. But here's the kicker. The stated official statements coming out of the Al-Qaeda government saying that we don't want a war with Israel. They've been saying this repeatedly. And Al-Qaeda has actually never attacked Israel. There has been footage of Al-Qaeda standing alongside the IDF. I can send you the photographs on the Golan Heights demilitarized zone. So
it was in the Israeli newspapers that off and on in the last years, they have given field hospital support to Al-Qaeda in southern Syria and given them weapons and even given them intel. So that's not debated. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you said it better than me.
No, I just wanted to back you up.
No, but I'm grateful. I'm so grateful because you're right. It needs mention, right? We can't forget about this history. But and since then, that Al-Qaeda government has said, we don't want any beef with Israel. We're going to cut off any military support for any Hezbollah or any group that's going to fight Israel. Basically, full surrender. Let's negotiate. But Israel is still invading Syria. Israel is still bombing Syria. Iran is not in Syria anymore. Hezbollah is not in Syria anymore. And instead of the Israeli aggression reducing, the Israeli aggression has increased. And that the lesson therein is that Israel does not want peace. Israel wants greater Israel, right? Like, you only need to look at Syria to understand that to be the point. And every single policy they've done since the Oslo Accords, where they signed the peace treaty to do a two-state solution, has been to undermine that two-state solution, including the assassination of President Rubin. Forgive me if I forgot his name, that signed the peace treaty in the first place. So I think you're right. The portrayal of it as this innocent thing, that Iran is the aggressor and that Israel is like this thing that you have to protect. Essentially, what the American people are being sold is that Iran has to be bombed because they're because of head coverings and gay pride parades. I think in the past, a nation would go to war with a nation perhaps because it feels threatened by that nation. But Iran isn't threatening the U.S. and certainly women showing their hair or not isn't a threat to the U.S. Even though I showed in my videos to you yesterday that indeed women do show their hair in Iran, sure, without being
Well,
bashed up.
But I want to be clear. When I heard that Grinnell was saying we promise we're going to come save the gay people, and then the regime changes about that, I thought it was a joke. And then he actually said that. And I mean, it's totally crazy because it just shows, like with USAID and Afghanistan all over the place, and literally all over the world, the U.S. is literally coming and trying to transgender people's children. That should not be the face of the United States. You know, Grinnell can do whatever he wants in his bedroom. Quite frankly, I don't care. But the leading edge of why we have policy, you know, is not about what people do with their penises. I'm sorry.
It is the woke liberal world order, right? It is the liberal woke hegemony. It's the woke bombs. When Syria now, like they basically are perfuming up Al-Qaeda and they put Al-Qaeda in power and they dropped the $10 million bounty on his head. Before they put Al-Qaeda in power, they were selling this war in Syria with the flag of liberalism. Like the Assad state before that fell, you know, he was saying, I don't agree with the whole transing the kids thing. I disagree with the women are men and men are women. I disagree with the liberal world order. However, he wasn't throwing gays off buildings. He wasn't abusing women. But they created the story of the, look, if you guys are listening, look this up, the gay girl in Damascus, a blog of this gay woman that was being oppressed by Assad. This was within the first year of the regime change operation. Turns out that woman was a man, an American man, living, I think, in the UK, who is called Tom McMaster. And he was the one behind the blog of the so-called gay woman in Damascus. But they tried to use the women and LGBT thing, even in Syria, before it was clear that the revolution was Al-Qaeda, essentially. They still tried to use this liberalism to create manufactured consent for war.
Well, we got to get you back soon because this whole thing with Russia is coming to a head. And we already know this, but Trump's like, it's Zelensky doesn't want peace. Not just Zelensky. NATO has said they're never going to do a peace deal. So Russia keeps slowly expanding, slowly winning. Europe's threatening to preemptively nuke Russia. So Russia responds and says, okay, well, we'll nuke you in a war. And the media then ignores that Russia's responding to NATO saying we may launch a sneak attack on Russia. So I love how NATO makes the provocative statements, says they're going to put an army in Ukraine to fight them. Then Russia responds and says, fine, we'll nuke you back. They ignore, they're responding to that and just play these games. So dangerous.
Well, I guess if I can have a last 30-second statement. Imagine if China or some foreign power sends Starlink or some communication device into Minnesota and starts instructing people to shoot up ICE or other police officers. How would you expect the U.S. state to react? And then imagine if that nation said, if the police react against the peaceful freedom protesters, then they're going to get bombed. I'm sure the American people would not accept that. I'm sure the Iranians wow. wouldn't either. So thank you so much.
Well, in a way, it is happening. He is a CHICOM agent, but he's a globalist agent. They're actually saying resist them. They're illegal. They're actually saying get weapons. So that's pretty much kind of happened now. It's the Democrats with the globalists doing it here. So everybody's trying to regime change everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked that George Soros did a regime change color revolution in the U.S. that one time. BLM.
You're amazing. Do 60 seconds on the other side.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I'm tired of this dirty old city and tired of too much work and never enough play. And I'm tired of these dirty old sidewalks. Think I'll walk off my steady job today. Turn me loose, set me free. Somewhere in the middle of Montana. Give me all I've got coming to me. And keep your retirement and your so-called social security. Big city.
All right, I wanted to get Syrian Girl, who I feel like I've known forever, as I have. I've never met her in person. It's got to be 15 years she's been coming on since the Syrian conflict was just starting. And I wanted to just have her, give her 35,000-foot view before we shift to some other big news that connects to all this. on where she sees the Trump admin going from the past behavior, where she sees Israel going, who no matter what, Netanyahu wants to be a wartime president. He's not going to stop, wartime prime minister. He admits he's doing all this to basically stay in power. And the fact that it continues to enrage the world, but they don't care. And then meanwhile, you've got Russia, you've got China, you've got Venezuela, all of this, why she thinks this is all coming to a head at one time and what she thinks humanity can do to navigate this and de-escalate it. So some closing comments on that, and I appreciate your time, and people should follow your important, your very important work. Sorry, my voice is still out. At Partisan Girl, one word, on X, YouTube, Syrian Girl Partisan, Telegram, Syrian Girl Partisan. So please, Syrian Girl, give us your, I think, expert take on that, because you've really been calling stuff like it is for a long time.
Well, I think that Israel and, you know, Zionism worldwide, they are on the war front. They feel like they've been winning in Gaza, in Lebanon, you know, taking out like the leader of Hezbollah. And now they want to continue the momentum essentially in Iran. Although I saw an article recently that said that Israel is not going to take part in any sort of conflict between the U.S. and Iran. Which I thought was interesting that, you know, essentially they are getting the U.S. to fight their war with Iran. So the U.S. is expected to jump in to help Israel, but not vice versa. You know, Israel wants to be out, like, to sit this one out while the U.S. does the job. Didn't happen that way yet. But I think that, you know, in terms of what I see coming, look, I think that we have a basically what I see it as is World War III. It's probably not the World War III that we expected. We didn't like we expected World War III to be nuclear mushroom clouds left and right. Whereas I think since at least the war in Libya and Syria, we were already in what was World War III. We had Russia and the U.S. in a sphere, like both at the same time in Syria, both at the same time in Ukraine. You have stuff going on in Venezuela. You have stuff going on in Armenia. It seems global. You have Israel, Iran, Israel, Gaza, and the genocide there. So it's basically World War III. And the only thing left next, like what next, with all these dominoes falling, once if Iran was to fall, their sights are going to be set. Well, they're already at war with Russia, but things might escalate there, and then China. So, like, those are nuclear powers, and things are going to get much, much worse from there. But the question is, like, how much is Russia and China going to help Iran out here? Because surely they realize that they're next. And if they help them a lot, that's going to be a quagmire for the U.S., just as Afghanistan was. Which is why they had to pull out eventually. And that is going to essentially cause a really big damage to the U.S. economy. We keep getting told that these wars help the U.S. economy. And here I live in Australia, you know, we're getting told these things. But all I see is hyperinflation. All I see is cost of living crisis, people without houses, people who can't afford groceries. Where is the economic benefit for these wars?
Oh my gosh, you've been so gracious. You've got to join us again tomorrow. I thought of you days ago, and I've been so busy I haven't covered it properly. I've mentioned it some. The incredible draconian legislation set to pass as early as tomorrow, where they ban all free speech, hate crimes, thought crimes, take the rest of the guns, which is the model for the world. I've got all these clips. I've got the legislation that's already passed. They have the votes and where you see that going. So if you can, join us tomorrow for 30 minutes on that. Syrian Girl, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you. Great job. Hopefully this answer to prayers, this Iran thing de-escalates, because I'm all for regime change is what the people want. Okay? That's their right. I don't trust the globalists in Israel with who they're going to put in. It's the same thing in Venezuela. I'm all for getting rid of that regime. I get why Trump thinks he can do it. He's from a good place. He's doing it. So if he does it, I'm not going to, you know, stir and attack him. But at the same time, how do you trust us not being put in a new Vietnam? And I think you've seen now that's basically where we're at. Now, I want to be the guy that's right. And by the guy that's right, I want to be the guy that is accurate. I want to know the truth. Like, I want to know what's going on. And then I'm going to tell you what I really think is going on. And that's why we have a track record of being the most accurate. Now, a lot of the stuff we talk about is not simple. It can be taken out of context because we'll war game all the different factions and sides. People can take a clip when I spend 20 minutes war gaming something, looking at 5-6 different angles, and I'll cover one angle, cover another angle, cover this angle, and people that want to be deceptive can go get an angle out and say, that's what I'm saying. That's why you got to watch the show in its context, okay? Now, I have so much family and friends. My phone rings every day now with cousins and, you know, aunts and uncles and old friends and, you know, Alex, I hear you saying get into silver and gold, and that it's only going to go up, you believe. Are you really think that? And I mean, I've had family do this, and I look at them and I go, do you think I'm going to tell my listeners something if I don't think it's the best move? My entire economy, my entire world is about being right. I didn't sell silver or gold or promote it for 14 years because I believed that it had been speculative before and that it was not going to go up for a long time. I said, hey, folks, I bet in a decade or so we'll be back. Well, we came back 2 years and 2 months ago with the top rated gold and silver sponsor because they have the lowest prices, the best service, all of it. But and they're a sponsor, but this isn't even about a pitch. It's about the larger ramifications in the economy. So Kirk Elliott has nailed it. He's an economist. And he's the most successful silver and gold broker in North America. That's no easy trick itself. So in the real world of business, he knows what he's doing. And he's a good friend of mine and very smart historically and a theologian. And he totally nailed it. And so I had family, he knows, he talked to him, who bought a little bit of silver last week. And they're like, oh, God, it's at 80. You know, should we do it? And I said, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't have money to buy silver. If you want, call. And boom, now look where it is, okay? So there's going to be profit taking from time to time. But when you put all the factors in of how it's a rare earth mineral, how it's a strategic mineral, a strategic periodic, you know, table, part of our universe, element, I think silver in 3 or 4 years is at $1,000. I think gold at $10,000. Because of the inflation alone, okay? But I'm not guaranteeing that. I'm just saying they've suppressed it so long. Silver's the most ridiculously suppressed thing out there, so it's easy to guess. If you have to have it as this industrial thing, and you have all this inflation, and all these elites are hoarding it, and there's shortages of it, and the mines say we're years behind, and it takes 10 years to get a big mine processing, this, to me, my God, is the ace of spades. It's the ships come in. It's the, you know, the way to make lemonade out of lemons. So, yeah, I mean what I say, but it ain't about whether I mean what I say. It's in Gladiator, he says, are you not entertained? When he chops everybody up in 10 seconds. I'm saying, are you not empowered? Are you not made strong? Have I not told you the truth? And it's not about me beating my chest. It's like, my God, here, people. I'm not just right about the silver. I'm right about all this stuff. It's not about me being right. It's that I'm right, so you'll listen to me so we can beat them. I know how to beat them. But I got to get the White House listening, which they are, more and more. And I got to get the public listening and understanding. I know you hear a lot of voices and a lot of stuff out there. But, man, me and my guest, it's not just me that gets it right. I have people on that are consistently right, like Mark Mitchell at Rasmussen. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And one of those guys is Kirk Elliott. Now, he's got to go in 13, 14 minutes. I got to him late. I apologize. I twisted his arm to come on. He sent me all this preparation. But I noticed what he didn't send me. He sent me some of it. It's this. Silver U.S. Mint delays and Costco limits surface. This is what he predicted. When you start seeing where you can't even get it retail, and the mines have run out, and the different systems and the trading systems are out, that's when you know it's gone into the next phase. So, Doc, there's a lot to talk about here. in a short time. But what the hell is going on with silver right now?
Alex, we were so right. I mean, today silver's like at $93. 93. And what was it after Christmas? It was like 70 something. Right. And it's like we're going up and up and up, but why? So there's a reason why.
Predicting right before Christmas, and we don't even have the staff to do it. Could we have somebody find it? Your staff needs to find it. You said, I bet it could be 90 in January. You remember saying that?
Yeah, I do. And sure enough, it is. Now I think we're probably going to eclipse 100 by the end of this month, Alex. The end of this month.
Quite a psychological barrier.
I know. That's a huge one, right? By the end of this quarter, I think we'll be 120 to 140. And if I were betting man, which I'm not, we'll probably be around 200 by the end of the year. Now, why do I say that? So just this morning, Trump issued an executive order about shoring up supply for critical minerals, of which silver is one of them. And so he's putting price floors on it. What? Why? So he can get other countries other than China to go into production deals with America so we can get the critical minerals needed for national security. Now, so what that meant was silver last night came down a lot, like literally like $7 or $8 or something like that in offshore trading. It's like, why? Because Trump is delaying any tariffs on these critical minerals in lieu of he's trying to shore up some new deals with other countries to get us out of the grips of China. So silver came down. You know what it did this morning? Popped right back up again. They can't keep it down, right? Normally something like that would have caused silver to keep coming down and down and down and down. There is so much oxygen in this because of the fundamentals that you and I talk about all the time, supply and demand. There's little supply. There's massive amounts of demand. And the fundamentals always hold true. Ultimately, that's always the case, right? So this is why it came down last night. But why did it come right back up to where it's now 93 again? It's because of the supply and demand issue. So here's where I want to look at something. So on the notes that I sent you step one and step two. Look at step one, the chart on that. So it's basically an ascending triangle. And one of the big researchers that I love following, his name is Jesse Colombo. He and I are on the same page on this. He actually wrote a report on it. So what does an ascending triangle mean? It means that from a technical pattern, once silver goes above this little ascending triangle, it's going to soar and it's going to go up. And he predicted we were probably going to be, this is the run to 100. Okay, so he said this sometime in December. Look at step two. It broke out of that ascending triangle. Now, the next step is $121 silver, which I think we're going to get this spring. See, this is the amazing combination of fundamental forces.
So what you're saying is, you predicted this, it's even breaking out of some of the most bullish models and going hyperbolic.
Yes, yes. Now, here's what's happening and why we're going to have even a bigger supply crunch. So last night in China, China's paying like a $13 premium over spot price for silver. It's like, why would they do that? It's because they've run out. China needs it for manufacturing. And this is why also they stopped exporting to the rest of the world. They don't want to export a mineral that they need for manufacturing for all electronics and electric vehicles and batteries and everything else. So they're not exporting it. They put anti-hoarding laws in effect. So it's like people can't buy silver in China anymore, the citizens, because they need it. China needs it.
And let's be clear, they've been encouraging it forever. Now they're
forever.
Not. So let's be clear, though. Every indicator is perfect storm here. It's breaking out of even the most bullish models because the mines admit they can't deliver. The major centers that are distributing it are running out. What are you hearing from your sources? You're one of the apex, you know, guys in this at the retail level that's still even small compared to institutional, industrial, but still consumer. You're the apex guy here. about where this is going, because clearly, if it's so way undervalued where it should be, it could, with this amplification, if this continues, it could be way more bullish than we could even imagine. It could go completely cuckoo town.
It could. See, every big run that we've seen in history, like 2010, 2011, when silver went from 12 to 48, a 4X increase in like 9 months, that was a speculative blow off. The Hunt brothers, speculators. This one is so different. This is not speculation. This is supply and demand. Now manufacturers need it. We've never encountered a world where manufacturers have run out of a commodity that's so important it's needed for just about everything. They're going to start offering any price possible, which is why last night in China, they were offering over $100 an ounce silver when on COMEX, it was $89 an ounce. So what does this mean? So this
Let me stop you. You were on 2 weeks ago, and I'm going from memory, so correct exact numbers. Silver was 80, but you said China's offering 89 or something. And so you said, I think that you said, so that means in a few weeks, it'll be at 90 for everybody. That's when you made the prediction, right? I'm going from memory.
Yes. Right. Yes, exactly right. So what does this mean for us?
So it's happening again. So what's the indicator show now?
Indicators are showing now that the COMEX supplies, the inventories are depleting because of this instant arbitrage. You can buy metals in America for $89 and go to China for 100 and something. It's instant arbitrage overnight. So
it's like the new carry trade out of Japan.
It's like the new yen carry trade. Exactly. So this is depleting inventories at COMEX. Okay, so what happened last night when China's offering these higher prices? The banks, if silver were to have hit $100 an ounce, and you just had that research article on the screen just a minute ago, if it would have hit 100, some of the big banks that have massive short positions, like hundreds of millions of dollars in short positions, they would have been wiped out. So they had to try to drive the price down. And they did. But you know what happened? Supply and demand kicked in, prices went right back up. See, we're on the verge of 4.4 billion ounces of silver in bank shorts when the mines only produce 800 million ounces a year. This is unsustainable, Alex. And some of these banks are going to get crucified over China's basically massive appetite for silver. And China knows it. So they know it, which is why Trump signed this executive order. I can't go into his mind and think of why he did what he did.
Only predicted like 3 months ago. That's why we got to have a whole archive. It's just on you that he would declare it a national security issue. And he did.
He did. He absolutely did, because he needs to. If we can't shore up supply of silver, our defense industry goes dark. I mean, they can't have it. So does electric vehicles. So does solar power. So does AI chip manufacturing. So does cryptocurrency mining. So does all electronics.
But you alluded to this a lot in the last few years because it was time to do it. You agreed. Yeah. Now the bull market begins probably for the next decade. So I said, now's the time. I'm going to steer people in the right direction. You said something in a sophisticated way. I want to not dumb it down, but just, you know, make it simple. You've got all these big tech companies that are worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And sure, there's some value there, but it's way overvalued. But people are putting money in the stock market. When people figure out that paper is overvalued and they go into commodities and they go into rare earth minerals, that's when things go crazy. And because all these rare earth minerals, like silver, have been so undervalued, once the public figures that out, it's game over. And they haven't even begun to figure it out yet. The institutions have. That's why this is so obvious that we are on the beginning of this mega bull market.
Mega.
Any way you slice it, that's why listeners who think, oh, I don't want to call Kirk Kelly and get it now that it's $90-something, you'll be here in 2 weeks when it's 100, I believe, feeling foolish. I would not tell you to get into this if it was not the surest thing on the planet. I could have scam silver and gold brokers on to sell you collectible crap and make millions of dollars a month. We get a couple $100,000 in because he has a very small margin, but I feel good doing it. It keeps us on the air. It's great. I can sleep good at night because he doesn't have these big margins. Kirk Elliott has the highest ratings. He is the biggest company because there's a lot of smart people. There's also a lot of people that don't know this business who get ripped off. I could do hours on this, make it very simple. You know I don't BS, folks. You're insane if you don't get into silver and gold now. I'm not saying how much you should. I'm not saying how you should do it. I just know if you're going to get it, the place is this man right now. Now, you call them, they'll do a free consultation with you. They can roll over financial instruments as well. You can do it via email. What I'm saying is don't wait. It's the smartest move you ever made in my 32 years on air. Nothing has ever been clearer. We can get hit by an asteroid tomorrow, okay? Or other stuff could happen. I would, in my gut level, I would say a 99% chance that silver for the next decade is going to be the most important investment ever. And I think that's an easy, I think those of you informed are like, well, of course, well, people don't know this, folks. So a lot of people don't. You need to call Kirk Elliott right now, at least stick your toe in the pool. And then boom, you get the silver and it goes up. And you're like, oh yeah, because the rush has just started into silver and then into gold. And people are going to feel foolish later if you didn't. Don't feel bad you didn't listen to me the last 26 months with Kirk. It's okay. All right. But you should feel foolish in 6 months if it's at $200 an ounce or something and you didn't listen. Kirk Elliott, one of the great services you offer at KAPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900.
I mean, if you have IRAs, if you have old 401ks, you can roll them into physical metals. I'm not talking about paper. It's physical metals. You can take it at home. You can store it, right? There's so many options, and this is why we don't use a cookie cutter approach. This is why we want to talk to everybody to make sure you're getting exactly what you want and what you need to fulfill your safety goals, right? So call us because we can do IRA transfers, rollovers, tax-free rollovers, right? All into physical silver. Alex, there's one quick thing that I need to say before I jump off. The demand is about to go through the ceiling. When the exchanges make it easier for people to buy futures contracts in silver, this paper to physical discrepancy is going to explode. What the CME is voting real soon, the news just came out yesterday, of doing 100-ounce silver contracts. Right now, it's 5,000. So now the masses are going to get into silver on the futures contracts. You think that the paper to physical at 300 ounces paper for 1 ounce of physical is off the rails now? It's going to get worse. There's going to be so much demand for silver offering a 100-ounce contract. You need to get in before these things happen.
That's the system signaling they know the suppression of silver is over. And yes, causing
exactly.
U.S. Mint delays, Costco limit service. Now even the retailers are selling out.
Yeah. Yeah, the retailers are selling out. Even AppMax, a big, massive e-commerce, $10,000 minimum right now. They just added it. They're adding multiple days to even fulfillment because the demand for silver is off the charts.
Unbelievable. People better call you right now. They're smart. I mean, I've never seen such a sure thing. Kirk Elliott, God bless you, and thank you. Nick Fuentes, straight ahead.
Can feel the power of Methylene Blue. Don't let the evil power win. Order now on the alexjonesstore.com.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene Blue, light my mind. Ultimate power, feeling strong and prime. Seymour's gummies, open the door. Get your strength back at Alex Jones' store.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.